Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, a legendary hockey coach with a long running streak.
An early morning run for me just kind of gives me a chance to kind of review my day, rehearse a few things I'm going to be doing, and I've made some of my most important decisions in terms of coaching and players, et cetera, in the midst of a run. So I find it's really a good time to kind of focus and enjoy the run, but also get a little bit of thinking time in.
What to do when the sky erupts at the start line.
While they're doing the anthems, the skies opened and a monsoon-like rainstorm hit us with sideways, crazy winds and soaked all 500 or 600 of us that were doing the marathon. So we ran a four-hour marathon soaking wet. Absolutely soaked right from the get-go.
And a former member of parliament on running all over the world.
You go on these trips and you're meeting diplomats and people who you're meeting during the day to be able to have some time to just get away from it all and get a feel of the place by running. And, you know, there's nothing like running in a place to get to know the place a little bit better, which you can't get from, you know, the hotel.
Yeah.
Or from the meeting rooms that you're in most of the time that you're on these trips.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How has the snow been in Toronto this week?
A lot of fun. Beautiful.
Yeah?
Good running weather. Yeah.
The kids are enjoying it?
The kids are enjoying it. The adults are enjoying it. Yeah. It feels like celebratory times.
Yeah. And it hasn't affected your running?
I tell you what, I have been making more of a pact to get out and run. And I'm not wearing my watch. I'm obviously not going out now, you know, as we get around the holidays and things. I'm not out here to set any records, but I'm getting out as often as I can. And I've been going pretty much every day. So I enjoy it in the snow. It's a nice change. And the sun has been out. You know, it's been lovely.
Yeah, well, good. I don't mind running in any weather at all. The only time I'm reluctant to go out the door is when it's icy, because
sure.
I don't want to slip and fall. But otherwise, snow, cold, whatever. Although, as I did mention on last week's show, I've been running a little more indoors now that I've got a treadmill in my house, which I never had before. Even after 15 years of being a runner, it was only this fall that I got a treadmill for the first time. So. But I don't, you know, I don't mind running. You don't go as fast when there's a lot of snow on the ground, but you can still enjoy it. And there's a different feeling in the air, I find, when, you know,
yeah.
You got all that snow. It's quiet. It's still. It's the snow kind of absorbs the sound. And especially now, it feels like, you know, it's almost the holidays and that kind of thing. So it puts you in a good spirit.
Can we rewind a little bit? I'm just curious. So for 15 years of running and you never got a treadmill, and yet this past, what month was it? You said November?
I don't know. Yeah, about 6 weeks ago we got the treadmill, yeah.
Was there an impetus? Was there a sale that you couldn't pass up, or what prompted you to pull the trigger?
No, we'd always talked about doing it, and you know, I had a membership at a gym that I really didn't use that often, and so I figured, you know what, if I get rid of the gym membership and I take that money and buy a treadmill, then it's a lot closer to home. I can run when the kids are here. My wife can run when the kids are here. We don't have to trade off as much, you know, and well, why not, right? So it's not like, you know, I'm a serious runner, so I can make this a priority. And it's worked out great because, as I told you before, you know, I run early in the morning now and I get it out of the way. And it's at a time when I probably would be less likely to run outside. It's dark. The roads are quiet. It's cold. So I get it done, you know. Sometimes my son wakes up halfway through my run and comes down and sits next to me on the couch while I'm running on the treadmill, you know. So
that's
it's
nice.
All good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right, cool.
Then he wants his breakfast, right? Then he wants to eat. So I've got to stall him while I'm finishing my run, and then I get out the cereal. So anyway.
Always working.
Yeah. We've got a great show coming up today. We're going to talk to Dave King, the legendary hockey coach who runs every day, every single day. He's been doing that for decades. Former Member of Parliament Paul Dewar is going to be on the show this week. He's run in some really interesting places like Lebanon and Algeria and other parts of Africa and Europe, and he's going to share some stories with us. And a runner named Gavin Lumsden. People may remember this is the guy who ran a different marathon for every letter of the alphabet. And this was his quest to raise money for childhood fitness programs. And just another little twist on the different ways you can kind of slice the marathon list. You know, it's it was kind of cool.
What letter did he get to? Did he do the whole thing?
Yeah, he did everything. A to Z.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he had to find a place. He found a place, I think it was in Ohio, that started with the letter X and had a marathon. So he managed to find a marathon for every letter of the alphabet.
Oh, my goodness. So,
so
cool.
He's seen some interesting places. So this is going to be a lot about traveling the world and pursuing your passion for running on the show this week, as we all have done. Ben, thanks for being part of it.
Appreciate it.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, hockey coach and runner Dave King. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. We're on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Dave King has been the coach of Canada's men's hockey team at three Olympic Games. He has coached in the NHL and in Russia as well, and throughout his hockey career, he has been a runner. Dave King, thanks for joining us on iRun Radio.
Oh, you're welcome, Mark. It's always enjoyable to talk about one of my favorite hobbies, which is running.
Yeah, and so, of course, people know you're passionate about hockey, but you are also passionate about running. And I heard that you have been running for a long time and that it's been a part of your life and that you run almost everywhere you go in the world, traveling with Team Canada.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have a very interesting career as a runner. Many, many countries and many different situations. So, you know, and it's always been something I was a physical education teacher way back before I started going into full-time hockey coaching. So, you know, you kind of preach fitness and you preach it as a lifelong activity. And so, Mark, in the summer of 1987, just before the Olympics of 88, I decided to run for a complete year, you know, and just every day, not miss a day for any reason. I was running before that, but not every day. So I went that year every day, and I thought, well, I'll just keep this up and see how long I can keep it going. So now I'm 30 years of running and really haven't missed a day in 30-some years. Well, it's 30 years now as of August the 1st, so I'm in my 31st year of continuous running. So I really enjoy it.
And you run every single day, literally?
Every day. Yeah, I go every day. I mean, I run every day. I run at, I'm forced at times to run some really odd times when you're flying out of Europe and you have to get up in the morning at 3:30 or 4 o'clock to run before you catch a 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock flight back to North America. So, you know, those are the kind of things you have to do. But I've never really felt, Mark, it was laborious to do it. I've never felt like it was inconvenient to have to do it. I enjoy running. It's become just a part of my daily routine. It's just like getting up to shave in the morning. It's the same thing. So, really, I've never felt it's been a bit of a burden at all. I've always enjoyed it, and there's some odd hours and some odd places at times, but it works.
And you know that there are people who keep track of these kinds of streaks. There's a dentist in Toronto we've had on the show who's run every day, I think, now for 38 or 39 years. There are others in the States who have run even for longer. Are you aware of,
yeah,
of some of those people?
Yeah, probably 7 or 8 years ago, my son brought to my attention that was a group of people that have run, you know, have longevity streaks in running. So I looked some of it up and I realized that, you know, I'm not the only nut out there. There's lots of us, and people really get passionate about it. And again, I think a lot of people, you just feel good about yourself having the discipline to do it. It does get you out and away from telephones. I like to run on my own without anybody around. I prefer just to run. I run with people lots of times, but I would prefer to run kind of on my own. And I used to have a couple of Shelties I ran with for several years, and that was awesome. But so I've enjoyed it. It's been really kind of a hobby that I get a lot of satisfaction from. And obviously, I've kept fairly fit. You know, I'm going to turn 70 here in another month, And I've been lucky to be fairly fit most of my life.
Well, good for you. And it is a profession where, because there's a lot of travel in the, involved and a lot of eating on the road and a lot of stress, that that can take a toll on you if you're not looking after yourself, right?
Yeah, you know, Mark, and I found that it's a really good point you're bringing up. I've really found it's a great way to relieve stress. I just found exercise just allows you to kind of see a bigger picture. You're out there, you can think about your day, and in coaching, you have lots of decisions to make later in the day. So an early morning run, and I always run in the morning, an early morning run for me just kind of gives me a chance to kind of review my day, rehearse a few things I'm going to be doing, and, you know, I've made some of my most important decisions in terms of coaching and players, et cetera, in the midst of a run. So I find it's really a good time to kind of focus and enjoy the run, but also get a little bit of thinking time in.
Now, along the way, have you done any running events of any kind, or is it just something that you do every day and it's not connected to training for a 10K or a half marathon or something like that?
Actually, I've run four or five Calgary marathons, and I was very fortunate to get the bug doing that from Dr. George Kingston, a famous University of Calgary professor and hockey coach. And, you know, George and I trained together for most of a year to run my first marathon in Calgary. So I've run, you know, four or five Calgary marathons, but that's the only ones I've run. But I have run, you know, when I was younger, I used to run, you know, pretty good distances, and I would run not informal types of marathons, but I've run more than five or six, I guess, in my time.
Yeah, so you sometimes you'll go out for a longer run, but it you're not doing it as part of a formal event.
No, I've run, when I was younger, I used to go out sometimes, and I'd be training for a marathon, and I'd end up running a marathon. You just get going, and you feel good, and the weather's good, the conditions are perfect, and, you're at a point where you say, well, might as well just see if I can just keep this thing going, and you keep going. So I've been lucky. I've been, for the most part, too, Mark, I've been injury-free. I've had injuries and other things and some sickness, but, you know, I've been able to, you know, get past that, and I've been very lucky. I've been blessed with relatively good health here.
You must have run in some pretty interesting places, though, because your travels have taken you, your job has taken you all over the world.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've been lucky to run, the cobblestone streets of, it's interesting, Mark, I ran in St. Petersburg, which in those days was called Leningrad, and the streets were all kind of like cobblestone in the older part of Leningrad, St. Petersburg, and I remember going over a bridge and thinking to myself, okay, I'll remember this bridge. And then I realized about an hour later there was an awful lot of bridges that looked the same in Leningrad. So what I thought was going to be about an hour was almost 2 hours, and on cobblestones. And, boy, that was one day where my knees the next day were a little bit sore. But so I've run in places like, you know, in all different cities in Russia. I mean, gosh, I coached in the KHL, so I run in cities people have never heard about, Magnitogorsk, you know, Novosibirsk, and I've seen some beautiful things on my runs. I've run in blizzards, where the minus 58 in Fort McMurray, Alberta, in the middle of a blizzard. I ran in the morning, and it was really tough running, but I've always kind of done it, and so I've been lucky to experience lots of very interesting runs, some very beautiful runs, and some just more, they're tougher ones, ones you got to kind of dig in and work to get through.
Sure. Minus 58. Wow. That's cold.
Yeah, Mark, that was a real cold one. I had a scarf over my my face, just my eyes sticking out. And when I got back to the hotel, my eyebrows were covered with ice. The when I took off the scarf, you know, when it landed on the floor, it just went clunk. You know, it was covered with ice and everything else. So, yeah, I've had some terrific experiences. And, you know, some I've run on the decks of boats. My wife and I have gone on cruises. And so you get up in the morning and you got to do about 25 or 30 laps of a cruise ship, but it works. And, you know, so I run, yeah. And I remember running once in Cincinnati, of all places. I was coaching the Calgary Flames, Mark, and we were playing a neutral site game there in December, and they had a freak snowstorm there. I remember getting up, and the snow was about 3 feet deep on the streets. So I plowed my way along, but it was really getting difficult. And I saw a parking lot, one of those columns, parking lots that go up around, you know, in a big spiral. So I thought to myself, maybe I could get in there and run. So I went in, ran up and down the parking lot thing for about 30 minutes and then came back into the hotel. So you find ways to get it in, find ways to do it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I can remember vividly a run that I did when I was at Disney World with my family. And and I, you know, the way Disney World is set up, sometimes you're staying in a place and there's really nothing but major, almost freeways between the different theme parks and hotels. And I kind of ran up and down this street and did a bunch of loops of a parking lot over and over again, and then ran back to my hotel just to get the run in that day. Yeah. So you do what you have to do.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. You do what you have to do, Mark. You make it work. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Any other places with amazing scenery or anything like that? Because I know you've spent a lot of time in Europe, and of course you've been all over North America.
Yeah, I think some of my most beautiful runs have been Davos, Switzerland. I've been there in the summer and the winter, and both seasons, wonderful runs up and down, which is, you know, obvious statement, but very, very beautiful. I really enjoy southern Germany around Bavaria, and around Fussen and places like that, Garmisch-Partenkirchen. I've had some fabulous runs in there, and the reason I like that area is, and I found in Europe, Mark, it's getting more and more common here. They have these walking trails for people up through the woods, and they'll go for miles and miles and miles. And I found those wonderful, and so I've been able to get on lots of those in southern Europe and really enjoy that. And really, one of the most beautiful places to run is Finland because of the cross-country ski trails that they carve throughout the forest. And the nice thing about Finland is a lot of them are lit because in the wintertime they're used for cross-country skiing, Mark, and there's lights every so often. Not a lot, but there's enough lights to keep the trail, you know, kind of clear to see. And they're all covered with beautiful sawdust and shavings and soft, and oh my goodness. So I've been lucky to run in some great spots. And Moscow, Red Square, around the Kremlin Wall. I mean, those are wonderful places to run.
Wow.
Venice, the canals and stuff along there, over all the bridges. Not getting lost is the biggest challenge in Venice. But, you know, I've just found it really good. And I have got lost many times, which makes the run a little bit longer. But it's amazing when you run a lot, and you're probably aware of that too. You do get a pretty good compass built in. Somehow you find your way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you find your way home again. But is it unusual in the hockey world to be this passionate about running?
Well, I know back when I was a younger coach, a gentleman, Tom Watt, at the University of Toronto, was a fellow who had run, continuous days for a couple of years. And so Tom Watt was kind of a guy I knew who had done a lot of running. Dr. George Kingston, as I mentioned, from Calgary, is a terrific runner. He's run ultra marathons, and he's a real diehard runner and has run so many more marathons than I have. It's amazing. So, yeah, I've had a chance to associate with people that have done it. And in the hockey world, it's amazing how many coaches now, Mark, do either out in running or they get on the stationary bike at the hotel fitness center. But I think a lot of coaches in hockey have realized, you know, our lifestyle is difficult. As you said, the traveling and the meals and all those things, and all the late nights because you're flying from city to city, all those things. I think a lot of hockey coaches now realize that fitness is a really good way to keep yourself sharper for what you're doing, and you can do a better job when you're and be more alert and more on top of everything when you're feeling good about yourself, and fitness does that for you.
And so tell me, what has fueled this running passion for you? What is it that you get out of running, and what do you love about it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think when I first was doing it that first year, you know, I mean, I was doing it because I was trying to run for a complete year. So I had a real focus about trying to complete the year and do it every day. And then when that year went by, I just doing it, and I would say probably 7 or 8 or 9 years later, I just never thought of it anymore. I just started to run all the time. I just kept running, I should say, and never really thought about my streak. And my wife is the only one who really said to me, you know, you've been going for quite a while. Are you ever going to take a day off? And I'd say, nah, don't need one. You know, I've got to keep going. And I think I enjoy it aesthetically. I really do. I enjoy getting out. I enjoy the fact that it does provide me with a challenge, a discipline every day to do it. And I do find that, you know, I've kept my weight down and I'm fit. I'm fit for my age for sure. And so I just think I've always been able to do my work better. And as I said, Mark, to me, it takes some discipline to do it. And I've always, as a coach, you're always preaching discipline to your athletes, whether it be on the ice or their off-ice activities or their fitness training. So when you do this, I think it's a good model for your players. And so that's been one of the secondary benefits is players often say, man, that's amazing how, you know, how you go every day and you never stop. And so it does give me a little leverage with my players in terms of, of their fitness.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, David, it's a great pleasure to hear you talk about running. I've always admired you as a hockey coach and cheered you on when you've been leading Team Canada. And I didn't know until a mutual friend told us about your passion for running. So I'm glad we had the chance to talk. Thanks for being on the show today.
Mark, thank you. It was enjoyable. And for all those out there running, keep going. That's the main thing. Thank you.
That's legendary hockey coach Dave King. Coming up next, we'll talk to a runner who has completed dozens of marathons in all kinds of different conditions, including the pouring rain. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Our next guest on iRun Radio is Gavin Lumsden. A few years ago, Gavin completed a quest to run a different marathon for every letter of the alphabet, A through Z. He's kept running marathons and raising money for childhood fitness programs, and he's a great ambassador for our sport. Gavin, thanks for being on iRun Radio.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So what marathons and races did you do this year? I know you're not running because you're not doing the letters of the alphabet anymore or anything incredibly ambitious like that. You've scaled it back a little bit, but you still did a few this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I ran three races. I went back to Fredericton for the second time back in May, at the beginning of May. That is a sort of classic out-and-back course, quite flat. And the weather was pretty good, and always enjoy being in that part in Atlantic Canada at that time of the year.
And what was the what's that event like? Describe the Fredericton race for us.
Well, it's a smaller event. There's like most races, there's more people in the half than in the full. So and you run along the banks of the river for the most part. As I said, it's quite flat. There's some good crowd support in pockets. And then, it's an out and back. And then they did change the course from the first time I ran it so that the very first part of the race, you actually run a bit through downtown. Fortunately, not too deep into downtown because, of course, if you know Fredericton, it's got that giant hill that divides the city, but you stay mostly in the core downtown area. And there was some great support there before you head out along the riverbanks. So it's a fun race.
All right.
Well organized.
What were the other two races you did?
So then in the fall, I went back to Chicago, did Chicago for the second time. And, you know, Chicago is, it's a little warmer this year than the last time I ran it. I think when we finished, it was about 82 degrees. But, of course, the first half of Chicago is run pretty much through downtown, so there's lots of shadows. And of course, you know, Chicago, like all the other majors, is just phenomenal in terms of support. You know, a crowd like six deep in places. And, you know, Chicago also is just, you know, one of these races where if you want to get to know a city, it might not be a better way than running a marathon. You get to see so many different neighborhoods, each with their own unique sort of characteristics. And it's, of course, superbly organized. So,
yeah, I love Chicago. Yeah. And one of the things I like about it is that it starts and finishes downtown. So if you're staying at a downtown hotel, you can walk to the start line. You don't have to take a 40-minute bus ride out to the start like you do in New York and Boston. Those are great races too, but the logistics are a little bit different. So in Chicago, you don't necessarily have to get up as early and you're not waiting around for as long at the start line. So It's a little bit more manageable on the day itself.
Oh, I agree completely. It's so many fabulous things about that race, and yeah, as you say, so incredibly convenient to get to the highlight points. You know, so I always enjoy it. It's a little pricey, but it's such a unique city that I'm sure I'll go back again and do it again at some point in the future.
And then you did, is it Hamilton that you did after that?
Yeah, Hamilton, Ontario. So I hadn't done that particular race before. That was a bit of an adventure in that so it's a point-to-point race.
Yeah.
And you finish down by the lake, but you start out at I believe it's either a high school or an elementary school. So they bus you out there, and the start line is literally in the parking lot of this school. And so you're all gathered there, and they're doing the official kind of announcements and the anthem and whatnot. And right just while they're doing the anthems, the skies opened and a monsoon-like rainstorm hit us with sideways, crazy winds and soaked all 500 or 600 of us that were doing the marathon. So we ran a four-hour marathon soaking wet, absolute. We soaked right from the get-go.
Wow. Yeah, that's not fun. I've been through that experience once myself, not in Hamilton. But nothing you can do about that. That's what happens when the weather intervenes, right? And it just adds to the list of experiences and stories to tell.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess Hamilton, this race, is other unique characteristic is that Well, for one thing, you're running on a major highway for a good portion of the second half of the race, and it's also downhill for about, I think, 8 or 9 consecutive kilometers. So if you haven't trained on downhills, you'll feel that the next day for sure.
Yeah, but it does have a reputation of being a fast course, and people do use it as a Boston qualifier from what I hear.
Yep, and you could see why.
Yeah.
Largely flat, and then you have the downhill portion, which helps speed you up a little bit.
So how many marathons is that now, Gavin?
54.
Wow. 54
yes.
Marathons. And you've been to so many different places to run marathons, all over North America, big cities, small towns. You've been to Europe. What is it that keeps you wanting to run marathons and also to travel to some of these places to run them?
Well, I think as I alluded to when I was talking about Chicago, you know, it's kind of a unique way to see a city. So, you know, you get to see things. I know for Chicago for sure, I spotted a couple of little cafes along the way. And on my recovery day after the marathon, I went back and I visited those to taste their fare and was rewarded for that. So it's such a really unique way to see a new place. And then, of course, you know, there's all the health and wellness elements, and I've enjoyed the training. I've enjoyed, I've taught running room marathon clinics for several years, and so I'm always trying to encourage other people to be part of it and to have this experience. So, and I guess what keeps me going back is really it's the challenge, of course, you know, and then I also like to eat really bad food, so I have to find a way to stay fit, and
yeah.
This is as good a way as any.
And you have also become quite an advocate for children's health and fitness, and you've initiated a number of different programs in that area, and I know you've done a lot here in the Ottawa area, but tell me more about what you've done with Walk This Way and what your plans are for that initiative.
Well, yeah, that's been a program that's been near and dear to my heart for some time. I made a commitment about 11 years ago now that I was going to embrace the wellness message that was instilled in me by Dr. Sean Egan, who was a pioneer in that area. And so I've been committed to helping, young people, especially underprivileged and overweight young people, commit themselves to fitness regimens. And so we started this program called Walk This Way back in 2000 and, 7, so we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. And basically, it's a program that is now in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. We gather groups of kids, and we train them for 14 weeks to prepare them to walk the 5K event at the Ottawa Race Weekend. Each one of our training walks has a destination, so it's about wellness for sure, but there's also a great chance for our participants to get to know their communities, see the city in sort of outside the neighborhoods that they grow up in. So it's a learning experience as well as a wellness experience. And we've grown the program now. So we started with five kids and a stray dog, as I like to say. And in Ottawa, it's blossomed into a program with more than 250 participants at its peak. And then we also did a fundraiser a few years ago to get some seed money so that we could try it out as a pilot project in different communities. And I'm thrilled to report that we put that money to good use and introduced Walk This Way in 10 different communities, 10 different provinces across Canada in the last 2 years.
Wow.
And so we're thrilled with the way that it's grown and been embraced, and it's been a huge success in the other markets as well. So now we're at the point where we have to build on that. We kind of spent all our seed money, and so we're out trying to source some sponsors so that we can continue to sustain the existing programs and grow into some other markets as well.
Well, good for you, Gavin. I've always been inspired by what you've done as a runner with the amazing number of marathons that you've done and the diversity of them, but even more inspired by the commitment that you've made to youth and child fitness and how you've carried this legacy on for so many years. So congratulations on all the great work that you've done, on all the marathons that you've run, and continued success. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
That's Gavin Lumsden of Ottawa. Coming up next, a former member of Parliament who has run all over the world. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Paul Dewar was a member of Parliament for almost 10 years, and as the NDP's foreign affairs critic, and also doing project work to promote democracy in other countries, he has traveled and run all over the world. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Mark.
And tell me a little bit about when you got into running. When did this start for you?
When I was in junior high, I was on the track team and thoroughly enjoyed it, but I was doing a number of other sports. So I never went on to, do any running beyond that. And then in university, near the end of university, I started to get into running again. And that's really when things were taking off with, the 5-10K runs. And I quite enjoyed that. And then, like many people, I had kids, and running stopped. And it wasn't until my son, my youngest son, Nathaniel, was he was 12, and I got back into running again because he was into running. And as a matter of fact, the first run he did that we were going to do together was the race weekend back in 2007. And at the last minute, I had to pull out and couldn't tell him because I had to go to Afghanistan. And of course, for security reasons, you're not allowed to tell people where you're going, when you're going. And so I paid my membership. I paid my fees. I was ready to go. And there was going to be the two of us go. And unfortunately, I couldn't run with him because I had to go to Afghanistan. But following that, we continued to do some runs together. And then I really got into it, Mark, and I'm sure many of your listeners will relate to this. It was after the sudden death of my mom in 2008, and I was having a little bit of a tough time after that, and I started to run more regularly. And frankly, it was to help me for my grief. You know, it was a mental health issue, if you will. And I have continued since then. And I found it to be something that was I enjoyed, something that was great to clear my mind. And it was really good for my mental health. And as a very busy person, I found it was the only thing I could do on a regular basis that was flexible enough. And
right.
So that's when I really got back into it. It was, you know, back, you know, when I was with my son, but then in earnest and more regularly since 2008.
And so it has a therapeutic value for you, or at least it did at that time, and it's continued to be something
absolutely.
That, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And to this day, I find that it helps me with, you know, if I'm down or if I'm low on energy, I really appreciate it, and it helps, you know, running. And it also gives me a perspective that sometimes you lose when you're too busy. And that's just to be away from gadgets. I might listen to some music, but, you know, I'm thinking about other things. And I find just, to, you know, on a regular basis to have that opportunity just to get out of yourself is great. But there's all these other rewards as well. You know, the people you meet, you know, when you travel, and I've traveled a bit, to be able to see a city in a very different context or a place. And so I've found it to be something that is very rewarding for reasons around, you know, mental health, physical health. But also just enjoying things.
And you mentioned you've traveled a lot. Tell me about some of the interesting places that you've run.
Well, let me see. From Berlin to Brussels to Beirut, that was one of my more interesting runs. Most recently, I was actually in Algiers, but when I was the foreign affairs critic, it was Washington. Also, when I went to Africa, to Congo. And the thing I liked about running when I was on these trips, one reason I've mentioned already is that it's very difficult to find time to, you know, get some exercise. And you're often jet-lagged. And one of the best ways I found of dealing with jet lag is to have a run and try and get into the, you know, the symmetry and the hours that you're in at whatever country you're in. But it's also a great way to see a place. And so, you know, one of my favorite stories is about being in Beirut for election observations. This is back in 2010. And Beirut, of course, growing up, and you'll remember this, was a war-torn country. And, you know, the fact that you would even fathom that people could be out running around Beirut when I was a kid would be,
yeah,
you know, impossible to consider. I ended up running there for the first time then, and then since then I've been back. And they've actually got a beautiful boardwalk and by the water and running through the neighborhoods that I know there. It's fantastic. And so as someone who, you know, you go on these trips and you're meeting diplomats and people who you're meeting during the day, to be able to have some time to just get away from it all and get a feel of the place by running. And, you know, there's nothing like running in a place to get to know the place a little bit better, which you can't get from, you know, the hotel,
yeah,
or from the meeting rooms that you're in most of the time that you're on these trips.
Yeah, you travel somewhere on business and you go straight from the airport to the hotel or the meeting facility and you spend a lot of time inside. And then if,
yeah,
you can get out and go for a 7 or 8K run, you cover a lot of the city that you wouldn't otherwise see and perhaps at a different time of day than you might otherwise see it.
Precisely. And, you know, recently I was in The Hague. And lovely place to run. And the first thing I did when I got there, the meetings were going to be the next day. And I talked to the front desk and I said, look, I'm a runner. And, you know, where should I run? And they said, how far? And they were terrific. And that's something I highly recommend when people are traveling with that. If you're staying in a hotel, talk to the concierge, or if you're staying in even an Airbnb, just ask people. They'll tell you, right, the best place to run. And then, of course, running, as you know better than I, Mark, is universal, and it is something that everyone has embraced seemingly around the world, where you can actually have a contact with people that you normally wouldn't have because you share that same passion for something. And that's something that I found really interesting too when I travel, encountering other people who run. And again, it's an opportunity just to be able to meet people.
And what about some of the events that you've done? Any of those that stand out, or any races that you'd really like to do?
The ones, I'll tell you one that was a vacation actually with my family, was the Terry Fox Run in Cuba. And this was in March, and it was actually, I believe the history of it was some Canadians in Cuba who decided to do this. And it was so much fun. It was with the kids, and we were on vacation. And I always look around for opportunities to get involved in the run wherever I'm at. And we saw this before we went down, that there was this run happening. And there was only about, I don't know, there was 30 of us, I guess, which was not bad. And, you know, people from mostly Canada, a couple of people who were local. And that was just so much fun because the whole idea of celebrating Terry Fox, which we many of us do know that his name is renowned around the world, but to actually be an event, a Terry Fox run in Cuba, was quite special. But I guess the other runs that I really enjoyed over the years here in Ottawa was the Canada Day runs that we've had, both the ones downtown, and for the first time I did the one in the West End. And that's just something that I love doing because what a great way to celebrate Canada Day. And I loved it because we, as a family, would get out, Jordan and Nathaniel and Julia would cheer us on, my wife. And that was just a family affair. And also the runs that I did with my guys for Race Weekend, which in the last couple of years, I've encouraged them to join me, but I've started doing half marathons and they haven't decided to join me in those. So maybe we'll get them going on that. But what I loved about the Race Weekends as well was that it was, running with your family, but running in the community. And then coming at the end of the race back, and we have a little bit of a ceremony at the end because it's at City Hall, and we always, every year we do it, we take a picture by my mom's plaque, Marion Dewar Plaza. And so there's a little, great little sentiment to that as well.
Nice.
And those are nice ones. And then finally, there's the Hindenburg Run, which I've done every year, which is a great community run. And it's a 5K run. If people know Ottawa, Hindenburg, down by the Parkdale Market. And that is great because it was, something that was very grassroots. It's very community. And
just a local neighborhood run.
It's a neighborhood run. And, people are on their front porches cheering you on. And it's just a lot of fun.
Well, it's great to hear your passion for running, Paul, and some great stories from some of the places you've run around the world. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I really appreciate it, Mark, and you take care and keep running.
That's former Member of Parliament Paul Dewar. On next week's show, some of the most inspiring stories of the year, including an incredible athlete who ran the Toronto Marathon 6 times in 1 weekend, plus singer-songwriter and mental health advocate Sean McCann. I hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.